Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28, I'll read a familiar passage of Scripture, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 1. And every verse that I'll read to you is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I feel like that this is the subjects that God would desire that we deal with. We said something about missions in the revival meeting and about maybe doing more for missions than we have done in the past. And I am interested in doing something for God, amen, in these last days. And I'll try to relate to you why here in just a little bit. And, you know, I tried to figure out how I wanted to address the subject tonight. And if we use the term missions or missionaries, those are terms that all of us are familiar with. Yet you'll not find those terms in the Word of God. You'll not find, far as my gathering, either of those terms in the Bible. And I realize tonight that, and I'm not trying to get off on some wild tangent or some wild idea, but it's amazing how we deviate from the Scripture, and in time things take place and even doctrines are established. And, you know, things are said and cliches are made and men develop teaching around those things. I heard somebody say, so you believe in once saved, always saved. I said, no, I don't believe that. Not in the Bible. And they looked at me strange. I said, I believe in eternal life. I believe the Bible teaches the doctrine of eternal life. Amen. That phrase not in the Bible, but eternal life's in the Bible. And if we could focus our attention in that direction and get more dogmatic than we've ever been about Bible terminology, Bible doctrine, and what the Word of God says, I promise you tonight, we'd be a far cry better off in our walk with God. Amen. And so tonight, I really don't know that I have a real good biblical title for the subject that I'm going to deal with unless I were to actually maybe use a title that would probably twist your thinking. If I was going to address the subject that needs to be addressed in this day and time from these verses, I would probably title the study Effective Evangelism. Effective Evangelism. That would be more biblical than any other term I could use to address the subject tonight. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, here's what the Bible says in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. While you're turning there, think about this question. Who is he writing to? Who's he talking to in Matthew chapter number 28? While you're flipping to that next passage, think about who he's addressing. Found your place in Mark 16? You know who he's talking to, don't you? You don't have to back up very few phrases in Matthew 28 to realize he's talking to his disciples. The 11 disciples that went away into Galilee, they came to Jesus and he spake unto them, all right? So he is speaking to the 11. And then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so there's two sides of it in that text. There are those that believe, and there are those that believe not. There is blessing to those that believe. There is condemnation to those that reject. Then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse number 46, Luke's Gospel 24 and verse number 46. We understand that he is writing to his disciples. He is writing to the apostles. He is communicating to them what he desires for them to do after he is ascended to the Father. Now, many men and many theologians, when addressing these men, have called them the evangelist. Even when you read after other men and when they talk about the Gospels, they address the authors of the Gospels as the writings of the evangelist. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Then in Acts 1:8, if you want to turn there when you can, I want to read that verse, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. Jesus is talking to his disciples right prior to the ascension, where he would take his seat at the right hand of God, and here's what he said. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, these verses that I have read in your hearing tonight, we have the commission, the Great Commission. Many have said concerning Matthew 28, many have said that this is the last commandment to the church by the Lord, and it should be our first concern. Yet, when we study the Word of God and we look at the condition of the church in the book of Revelation, we understand that the Great Commission is not the last commandment to the church. But the last commandment to the church is to repent. Amen. The condition of the church had gotten to a place where the Lord Jesus was not telling her to reach. He was telling her to repent. Amen. Did she get in this shape because she ignored her responsibility to reach? I don't know the answer to that question. We could study the history and we could look at the perversion and the false doctrine that crept in to the early church, and we could look at the epistles and the things that Paul is addressing, and as well the seven letters that God gives to John on the Isle of Patmos. And we could look at, yes, the New Testament church. Yes, the church that Jesus founded. Yes, the church that the Lord had a pastor at. Yes, the church that had godly people in it. A church that had opportunity and privilege to serve God. Yet, church after church after church that was in no shape to reach. And Jesus said, you need to repent. I don't know that maybe the church got, as many churches do and as this church could easily do tonight, get at ease in Zion and say, well, we're rich and increased in goods and we have need of nothing. And we're not rich and we're not increased in with goods, but we can look around us tonight and to consider where this church stands, the doctrines that it embraces, and the direction that we have a desire to go in tonight. We can easily tonight, young people, set at ease in Zion. Set at ease in the rest and the things that we possess as the people of God. And in that, neglect our responsibility to communicate the gospel. Is she so wicked that she cannot be a witness? Is she so perverted that she's lost her power? Is she so corrupt that she has lost sight of the Great Commission? I think that all of us must admit that in a universal setting, when we look collectively at the churches across America, yes, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches, we would have to all admit tonight that these things are true. However, locally and in an individual setting, I think we can have the power of God. I believe tonight that we can fulfill the purpose of God and do exactly what the Lord desires for us to do in our life as God's people, as God's church, as God's body, as we do what God desires for us to do. I've heard a lot of men preach before, and I know there's probably a lot of great men that have a lot of things to say about missions, but personally, I don't know anyone that can take the Word of God and open it up and deal with the subject of reaching out with the gospel and the church's responsibility to do so from the Word of God than Brother Stennett Ballou. Brother Ballou has always been a blessing to me when he would open up the Word of God and deal with the subject of the church's responsibility to reach the world with the gospel. Here's what he said. He said, missions displays the heart of Christ. Missions determine the health of the church. And missions delivers hope for every creature. That'd be worthy of you writing in your Bible tonight as we consider what God has for us as a people, what the Lord desires for us to do with our life and with our means tonight. He said, missions displays the heart of Christ. Missions determines the health of the church. Missions delivers hope for every creature. Now I realize the word mission is not in the Bible. The word missionary is not in the Bible. But as we consider the word itself, we basically understand that that word means to send forth. That's what it means. The word missions means to send forth. And I desire each one of those things to be real in my life. I desire to know something about the heart of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him. I desire for the church to be healthy. I desire for God's people, amen, to live in victory and overcome the world. And I desire that those around me and those outside of my physical reach and touch would have hope. Amen. I desire to see folks get saved by the grace of God. But it must go beyond being financed by my billfold. It must go beyond tonight being financed by a few dollars that I could put in an offering plate. But this responsibility, this work of reaching out with the gospel, this desire that God has for his church to fulfill and accomplish must be fueled by burden. Something that I'm afraid tonight our billfold has done away with. Our little mission offering every week and collectively seems to be a substantial amount of money when everybody does their part. We reach out and extend a hand, amen, to the world with the gospel. Send Bibles around the world, amen, send offerings to have Bibles printed and literature put in a place where men can get their hands on it. support missionaries as they preach the gospel and try to be a blessing and a help to them. But if we're not careful, we don't even know who they are, where they are, what they're doing. All we're doing is giving a few dollars. And I'm not making light of your financial contributions when it comes to missions. But I'm going to tell you something. If the Great Commission and if being a witness and reaching out in effective evangelism, and that's what this is about, it's not about some newfangled idea. And we've had a lot of things created in the last, 50 years maybe. A lot of things has transpired. A lot of things we've considered to be good things. A lot of those things we've seen fall apart in the last few years. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to have an understanding about evangelism. I thought about this, and I don't want to get... Let me just give you this tonight, and you can think about it. I'm just kind of giving an introduction to some things that we're going to look at from the Word of God. Here's what I want to do. I want to do everything that Jesus wants the church to be a part of. But I want to do it the Lord's way. I want to do it the Bible way. I don't want to do it right now because everything looks to see or looks to have God's blessing on it, and 20 or 25 years down the road find out that God was not honoring it at all. It was nothing more than the stirring of men's emotions and the opening up of their financial means, and it appeared to have God's blessings on it, all the while God never had anything to do with it. And there's a lot of that that's going on today in the world of missions and in the world of religious activity. But I want us to understand a few simple things tonight about evangelism, effective evangelism. And I know when I say evangelist and evangelism, the first thing you think about is Brother Justin and Brother David going to preach a revival meeting somewhere. But that is not what the Bible describes, nor does it define evangelism, unless they are in their endeavors reaching out with an emphasis to the lost, those that are without God, those that are without Christ. They are not, I'm not saying that they do not have a biblical office or fulfilling a biblical calling, for the Apostle Paul went around from church to church, and in doing so, he confirmed those churches. He strengthened those churches. He was a help to those churches. He was a gift to those churches. Amen. But when the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, he didn't mean that he wanted Timothy to sit by his cell phone waiting for a call for a week's meeting across the states. That was not the work of an evangelist that he desired Timothy to fulfill as a pastor. He wanted him to understand that he must reprove, he must rebuke, he must exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, because the time would come when men would not endure sound doctrine, but they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But he said, don't get so caught up in fighting the battle of false doctrine and dealing with the sins of the saints of God that you lose sight of the lost world that's around you, and do not promote and propagate the gospel and preach the cross of Jesus. You can read into it anything you want to, but that's what he's saying. Amen. Some things we need to understand tonight, I believe, is very important. When we think of evangelism, the effectiveness of evangelism, and the responsibility that the church has from the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand tonight that it involves redemption. When's the last time you put your mission offering in the offering plate and gave any thought or consideration to redemption? Missionaries go to the field. And you'd be amazed at some of the things that you would hear come from the mouth of missionaries that have been sent out by a local church and approved by a mission board as to their calling and as to the purpose that they are leaving their home and going to the field. If it doesn't revolve around redemption, then you need to sit at the house. Amen. If we're going to the prisons or the youth facilities or the nursing homes or the challenge program, if I'm preaching on the radio, if we're setting up the tent and all it revolves around is just doing something, and our thoughts and our understanding, amen, does not grasp a firm hold on the fact that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world, if it does not have a stronghold on redemption, then our labor, our purpose, our work is vain and empty. Amen. Amen. Jesus paid a great price, and he never gave the commission. He never gave the commission, nor did he unveil to his disciples that they would receive a power. He did not reach out with the gospel and tell them to preach with the emphasis that he gave them in these verses until the blood was shed and atonement was made. Amen. And so we need to understand tonight that redemption is a factor. We need to have an understanding of a reason. It's what I preached about. Amen. It's what I preached about on Sunday night. What did I preach about Sunday night? Hell is moved for thee to receive thee at thy coming. When you put your mission offering in the offering, does it dawn on you that those few dollars are going to enable an individual to preach to people that are going to hell? Going to hell. That those dollars are going to sustain the lives of men and their wives and their families that are laboring on the field of their calling and that genuinely have a brokenness and a burden for the souls of men. If they do not, then we are wasting our money and they are wasting our money. Amen. Better be a reason behind it. We better have an understanding of the reach. He said, all nations. And I will deal with that in the structure, the body of the contents of the message that I have. Amen. Maybe in the days to come. But we need to understand the reach of the gospel. It is not limited. It is not limited by the boundaries of men of ethnic race or whatever the case may be tonight. Amen. But the Word of God, amen, the Word of God tells us that we are of all one blood. We may not all be of one body, but we are all of one blood. And it's the blood tonight that is our problem. And that's why it was the blood that was necessary that had to be shed for the atonement of man's sins. But when I'm thinking about what we call in our modern day terms missions, what the Bible calls evangelistic work, and I think that we really don't have a concept of the reach. We don't understand the reach of it. We don't understand it's the gospel. Preach it to all nations. Be witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in the Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Then there's rules we need to understand. There's a Bible way of doing it. Amen. And there ain't no doubt about it that that's been discarded and laid aside. Amen. From church planning to everything you can think of. The Bible has had no, I mean, here's what we've had. We have listened to men tell what they wanted to do, and it sounded good, and it was good. We have heard men talk about the things that they wanted to do with their life, and we have agreed with it. But we've never sat down and really come up with a conclusion. Is this of God? Is this the way God has chosen to make this happen? Is this what God is wanting done? Now, I'm going to point out some things here in just a minute. And I ain't going to keep you all night tonight, but I want to show you a few things. And I believe the Lord wants to direct our paths and our thoughts in some areas. There needs to be an understanding of rules, a scriptural way of doing things. Then we need to understand the responsibility that we have. It is not an option. Amen. Evangelistic outreach is not an option to the church of the Lord Jesus. It is a direct command. It is a direct command that we tell the world about Jesus. And if you think for a minute that a $10, $15, $20 a week mission offering is going to relieve you of the personal responsibility of being involved in evangelism, then you're wrong. It's not going to do it. It's not an option, it's a command. Brother Alfred Willis, we were coming to church. We were coming to church to the meeting one night, and he said something about the church. He said, you know, what did you do? What happened? What did you emphasize? I said, preacher, all I've done, we had a radio broadcast. He said, well, you ain't built a church just on a radio broadcast. I said, well, we had a radio broadcast. I've never had Thursday night visitation. As far as a regimented, ritualistic, you know, bow down to the God Thursday night visitation program where people get together and talk about going out on visitation and then go to Shoney's and sit around and talk and ask each other if anybody knows of anybody they can go by and see. Now you say, preacher, that don't happen. Oh, yes, I've done heard him tell me. He said, this is what we do on Thursday night. And we may go see one person. It's nothing but a glorified fellowship. And here's what I told him. And that may cross some of you up with some of the things you've known in the past, but I'm going to tell you what, that's not in the Bible. Well, the Bible says go from house to house. Yeah, it also says get them out of the highways and hedges. Wow. You been back behind the bushes looking for anybody lately? You been crawling in the briar patch, seeing if anybody laying around in the briars with the rabbits, try to win them to Jesus? The Bible says in the highways and hedges. You been standing out in the middle of the street lately on the yellow line trying to tell somebody about God? Our theology is, our mind and our way of thinking when it comes to biblical things and what God expects and God desires is so warped, it's pathetic. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm going to tell you something. You can show up every Thursday night of your life and fill your pocket full of tracts and go out and do whatever it is that good, solid, independent Baptists say you must do to be a good, solid, independent Baptist, but you are never going to improve. You are never going in all of your days of work and labor. Nothing is ever going to take the place of you and your family or you as an individual having a burden for someone or someone that you come in contact with daily, someone that God lets cross your path and your heart is right with God. You have prayed. You have a heart that is in tune with the Spirit of God, and you are a witness, and you tell them about the Lord Jesus, and you look and long for the open door to tell somebody about God. I told Pastor Willis, I said, preacher, you're not going to improve on individuals telling somebody else about Jesus. Before I left Pleasant View Baptist Church, I more than replaced my family. And I know things ain't as they once were, but before I left Pleasant View Baptist Church, there was a man there that was acting as the clerk, a man there that was, and that same man was a deacon, that same man run the sound. There was another man in his family, he was acting as a deacon, sang in the choir, sang specials, played an instrument in the church. I had another fellow there, another family there for a while, and he got up and left later on. But the point I'm trying to make is you cannot improve on having a burden for somebody and trying to get somebody to God. You're not going to improve on that. From the Bible, you're not going to improve on that. And it's amazing. It's amazing that people will not go to their neighbors and they will not tell their family about Jesus. And they will not be a testimony and a witness and have a godly testimony on the job. But they'll show up on Thursday night prayer meeting and keep the preacher off their back. And go pass out tracts in the community while their own neighbors and family go to hell. That is the senseless, that's the most senseless thing I've ever heard of. So tonight I want us to understand, there's some things we need to understand about the effective evangelism that we involve ourselves in. Yes, there is a personal responsibility that we need to understand. There is a collective responsibility that we as a group need to endeavor in. We have a responsibility to both reach out into the world while we focus our attention on our own Jerusalem tonight. But there are rules, there is a reach, there is a reason, and there is redemption that each one of us need to understand tonight concerning the subject. Now here's what you're saying. Well, preacher, when I look at modern evangelists or modern missions, I see a lot of problems. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read a verse to you that you're familiar with and then give you a few thoughts. We're going to go to the house, let you swallow and chew for a few days. Amen. Ephesians 4:11. There's a lot of problems when it comes to modern missions. I mean, this is to blow your mind. I stood in this pulpit and said the other night, I want to do more for missions than we've ever done this upcoming year. I would like, and I use that term because that's the term that we're all so familiar with, but when I use that term, I hope we all understand that I'm talking about evangelism. That's what I'm talking about, biblical evangelism. I no more said that than a day or two later, I find out that we've got a missionary that has completely compromised their standards and changed their views about separation and things that they answered in a positive way when we took them on for support. Several years ago, they dropped that standard and did not live by what they said they would live by when they was representing this church in our behalf. Is anybody listening to me? Never called us. Never said, look, we don't believe like we used to. If you want to continue to support us, fine. But we feel like as Christians with integrity that we should call you and let you know that this is how we're practicing. This is how we're living our life now. So I have to find out through somebody else, looking at somebody else or talking to somebody else about that somebody else, seeing them on Facebook. Amen. In Ephesians 4:11, here's what the Bible says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I'm going to read them again. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, if you want to read verses prior to that and verses after that when you get home, it might do you well to read them, but I'm just going to tell you what you're going to find out. The first thing you're going to find out is you're not going to find the word missionary or missions in any of that list of things. There's never a word said about a missionary in those verses. And everything about these titles deal with the Word of God. Every one of them. Every one of these titles deal with the commandments of God, and every one of these titles deal with the church of God. Okay? Let me say it again. I'm gonna make sure I remember this because I just got it. Amen. But these names and titles, and I'm talking to you about that there's a problem. There's a problem with the concept of biblical outreach. Amen. I'm gonna say that again. There is a problem with the concept of biblical outreach. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, here's what those titles and those people represent. They represent Christ, they represent the commandments, and they represent the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They don't have anything to do with food. They don't have anything to do with medicine. They don't have anything to do with clothing. They don't have anything to do with soup or sandwiches. Nothing at all. And what we're trying to do in the realm of worldwide missions is what God said He would do if we would just preach the Bible. Is everybody with me there? We are trying to fund, we're trying to pay for something that we cannot afford to pay for. We can't, there's only one individual that can feed the world, and that's the God.
Amen. Amen.
There's only one individual that can heal them and touch their lives, and it's the Lord. There's only one that can clothe them as He clothes the field, and that is the Lord. We can't the church can't afford it. God has given the means to the church to afford to send men out and tell women, boys, girls, men that are hopeless, that are without the Lord Jesus, that there is a bomb in Gilead, that there's a sympathizing Savior, that there is hope in Calvary.
Amen.
We've got so twisted, and we have gotten so rested in our mind concerning what God wants, that we are wasting much time, wasting much energy on things that God never empowered the church to do. The basic word missions is a sending forth with the authority to preach and to teach and conduct the affairs of the church. But there's a problem with the concept of missions. Amen. And I'm going to leave it right there tonight. I got about 4 or 5 other things, but I'm going to leave it right there for you to think about. There's a problem tonight with the concept of world outreach and evangelism. Now, there's a lot of problems, but the first problem is the concept. Amen. And we'll probably talk about several other problems. Without question, we'll talk about several other problems, but this is a big problem. Our concept needs to be right, and the missionary or the evangelist or whatever you want to call them's concept must be right. Brother Keith made mention of the family that's going out to Montana about praying for them. And I'll tell you something, Brother Keith, if that young man and that young family doesn't reconstruct their concept about what they're doing and why they're doing it, and they try to make it happen in this day and time with what men have done in the past, when mission boards are a joke, when churches are fed up with missionaries going on a field and taking a glorified vacation on the church's money.
Amen.
And that's what's happening. And I'm going to tell you what I've done. I'm not preaching off the cuff. I talked to one of the missionaries we have in China this week. Here's what he said. He said, "Preacher, I'm not a well-liked individual on the field." He said, men aren't doing anything for God there. I said, here's what I'd like to know. Give me a godly family. Let me tell you what I've asked for. I talked to an evangelist who works directly with a mission board out of South Carolina, Prayer Baptist Mission. Now, he works with a mission board. I talked with a missionary that works in China and the Philippines. I talked with a pastor that has a mission outreach in his church. And I said, here's what I'd like to have. I would like to get in contact and get involved with a godly man, with a godly family, knows the will of God, and is wanting to go somewhere or is somewhere doing a genuine work for God, outreach with the gospel, telling people about Jesus, establishing a church, planting a church, helping a church, involved. I hadn't got a name yet. Not one. I had a pastor give me a couple of names of some nationals, a Korean and some Chinese. He said, I feel like they're godly people, but he don't have a clue. I'm putting a questionnaire together to send out to our missionaries. I don't know what we'll do when that thing's finished. It's just yes or no answers. Questions like, do you believe that the local church is a sole visible authority on this, that God has left on this earth, and you, are you a member of one and accountable to a local pastor? That's going to kill most of them. Do you believe that salvation is by grace through faith and requires the sinner to repent from his sin and turn to God? Do you believe that salvation creates an eternal change in the life of the repentant sinner and regenerates his mind and changes his thought towards sin, the world, the flesh? That's what I believe. I'm going to tell you what, Pleasant View Baptist Church wouldn't have sent me out if I didn't adhere and believe those things. So here's what we do. If anybody can preach and it's got the touch of God on them, hey man, we hoard them up in America and they pastor a church that's a split off a split off a split off a split. And we send fellas that couldn't teach a seventh grade Sunday school class to the mission field. And when they call or send a letter that somebody got saved, we think that that is so holy. It means more than if somebody here gets saved. We'll weep and cry over a slide presentation of some foreigner getting saved and just sit back like this right here when one of our kids gets saved. We think there's something more holy about it because they're across the sea. That's the mindset we have. It's ridiculous. Am I not telling the truth? Yes, I'm telling the truth. And they'll send us a picture, and I'm not being critical of Brother Rhodes' picture, but I won't, and I'm not being mean, but because you'll get it in every mission card you see. Picture of the mountains of Montana, the ocean of some island. Pray for us as we go to the field. I'll guarantee you David Livingston wouldn't have sent a very pleasing picture for us to look at if he had had a camera. Huh? Because I'm going to tell you something, amen. He wasn't going on vacation. He wasn't going there because he was beautiful. He wasn't going there because of the benefits or the splendor, amen. He wasn't going there to swim, to ski, to hunt, to fish. He was going there because there were souls that were dying without the Lord Jesus. And if somebody didn't preach to them, they was going to go to hell. Would to God tonight this church get a handle on that? I believe if we will, I believe God is obligated to put us in contact with genuine men that love God and want to do something for the Lord. I believe that. Things change, people change, and that's another problem, change. I may talk about that later. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, it's serious. We have a responsibility. I don't want to waste one dime of your money. I don't want to waste one dime of my money. I told, in that letter, when I'm trying to give an explanation for the reasoning behind the questionnaire, in that letter, I said, I promise you, there is no church, no supporting church that prays for you any more than this church prays for you. Because if our staff and teachers don't forget, and they remember, we pray for missionaries. Sometimes I forget like they do, I'm sure. But we pray for the missionaries. We pray for, in our class, we pray for, most of the time my class is divided up in three sections, a table, a table, a table, and there's kids at each table. And I'll give a missionary's name. Do you know who that is? Where are they going? Do you know who so-and-so is? Where is he going? Do you know who so-and-so is? Where is he at? I said, okay. And if I've gotten a letter or know of a need, I said, I want you to pray for Brother Patnaud. I want you to pray for Brother Horton. I want you to pray for Brother Highland. And I'll pray for all three of them while they pray for each one of them. If they pray. I hope they got enough sense to pray. I want it to be effective. I want it to be biblical. And I'm going to tell you something. What's been going on for the last 20 years, probably the last 35 years, we've seen God use men on the field, but we have seen some of those things fall apart, the mission board thing. And I'm not saying that I don't support missionaries. We don't support missionaries with a board. We have and we will. And I guess that there is a need for one. I used to say there is a need for one. I'm just guessing right now. Because most mission boards started out right, just like everything else starts out right. It all starts out right and ends up sour. The only thing that started right and has stayed right is the church. Now somebody better remember that. The only thing that started right and has stayed right is the church. Now, I'm going to tell you what, a man that is on the field, here's what I believe. I believe that every missionary represents this church. And I believe that in them representing us, through their sacrifice and giving of themselves, we are allowed to fulfill our biblical responsibility in the gospel through their sacrifice. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
That's important to me. Amen. I want them to understand that. We're not doing them a favor by supporting them. Not at all. They are doing us a favor by going where they're going and allowing us to be a part of what they're doing, because we are being able, or we are enabled to be scriptural and fulfill the command that Jesus laid upon us through their life. And the Apostle Paul supports that all the way through the epistles. My necessities. You gave all the way through there. Other churches made it possible for him to preach the gospel. Amen. So I want you to pray about it. I want you to earnestly begin to pray. What do you do each week for missions? When I got right with God, we started supporting missionaries as a family. Brother Danny Moore is a pastor in church in Greenville, South Carolina. We supported Brother Danny when he was in Brazil. He was fixing to leave out and go to Brazil, and he didn't have enough money to get out of town. And Greer and Taylor's not no big town. Brother Raines just, you remember that night, Brother Joe? Brother Raines just happened to ask him, Brother Danny, how much money? He's fixing to fly his family to Brazil for his first term. He said, how much money do you have? And I don't remember what it was. It wasn't about $300 or $400. That's all he had. That's every dime to his name. And he's fixing to go to Brazil. Some of you wouldn't go to the restaurant in Elizabethtown with less that much money. He was fixing to go to Brazil and take his family, and every dime he had to his name was about $300 to $400 or $500. And I remember me and my wife had saved up a little money. We had it in my dad's safe back home. Went home, daddy opened the safe up, and I don't know how much we got out, $500, $600, $700. I don't even remember how much it was now. And before he left out on the airplane, we took it and gave it to him. I'm going to tell you what, we had a heart for somebody going and doing something for God. I remember missionaries on the field and doing something for God that would come in and preach with such of the power of God on them because of the sacrifice they were making on the field that it made an impression on my life and on my heart that I've never got over. Brother Ronnie Starr is a missionary that we support in Alaska. And I remember Brother Starr of probably nearly 30 years ago coming to Pleasant View Baptist Church and preaching. And he has been serving in Alaska all those years. I don't know how long he had been, how many times he had served there on the field before I heard him preach. And that's been 28 years ago, probably 29. It would have been 19, probably 83 or 4. Did he? Early 70s. Still on the field, preaching, flying an airplane right now. And I mean, he's only been to this church, what, once or twice? He don't come home on furlough very much. Is anybody listening to me? I remember David. I seen Brother David Eaton's at Brother Norris's this past camp meeting, I guess it was. And I never dreamed he was still alive. And Brother Eden's is a linguistics expert, degree from Bob Jones University and on and on. And he was out there with the nomads out in the middle of a desert, just a handful of people living under a tent, nothing but sand. And he created a language for those people. They didn't even have a language to speak. He created, are you listening to me tonight? He created a language for those people and then took the Word of God and put it in their language and gave them a copy of the Word of God, just partial portions of it, and preached the Word of God to them. That was 30 years ago when he was doing that. And I've seen him at Brother Norris's and he's still doing the same thing. That's the kind of men I want to be a part of. Amen. That's the kind of lives, committed lives, that I want this church to be in. And I believe God will put us in touch with those people. If we will get what our end, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this church needs to repent. I need to repent. We all got issues. But I don't want to get to the place of Laodicea and Sardis. Because I have let down the responsibility that I have, and because of that, strife, contention, and sin overtakes us because we are not doing the right way, the right thing, the right way. Right, man. Amen. We go to Bluegrass Challenge. We better make sure we know why we're going. Right. We go to youth detention. We go to prison. Man. We better not do it just so we can write a letter and make sure we get our monthly support from the other churches saying we've done it. We're busy just to kind of, you know, make sure we better have the right concept about it.